The Mersey Basin Campaign, based in Manchester, was established in 1985 in the wake of the Toxteth riots in Liverpool and was given a 25-year brief to improve water quality, promote waterside regeneration and engage with the community in the Mersey River Basin. Over the years, the campaign's extended its reach and now covers the Mersey and Ribble basins with project coordinators working from South Cheshire to Lancashire. The campaign will now be finishing at the end of March 2010. When new media manager Kate Fox joined the campaign in 2006, her initial brief was to explore new media in general and to work out the ways it may be useful and applicable to the campaign and its communications efforts. Encouraged by Chief Executive Walter Menzies, Kate has developed blogging, podcasting, audio and video production, and a social media presence for the campaign. Know How Nonprofit spoke to Kate and Walter about their approach, engaging with local communities, and the legacy of the campaign after 2010.
We're a campaign aimed at improving water quality and involving people in the process, and we've always thought it very important to involve people of all kinds in the process of cleaning up this region.
We like clean up the litter and things to make the lake a nicer place to be, and we help the animals so that it's a nice nature reserve.
So by people we have various different audiences or people we wish to engage, including businesses, public sector bodies, quangos, local authorities and people in local communities as well. And we reach these people in very different ways. For example, we find that business people are motivated by competition and by awards and by publicity for their companies. That's fine. We find that public sector bodies have very different ways of being motivated to do things. So communication for a campaign like us is not a one-size-fits-all model of we produce a newsletter or we have an annual conference or whatever it might be. We do a whole variety of different things.
Oh, that was funny. There was a boy, right, at Junior Health as he'd come, and we were looking at frog spawning the stream, and Adam said, oh, don't get too near the edge. Just and a splash, and he fell in, and he was just covered with mud.
Now, as new media has started to become more prominent for everybody in society about 3 or 4 years ago, and we saw the beginnings of blogging and lots of other things of that kind, and technology becoming cheaper, producing videos and podcasting and so on, cheaper and easier. We simply thought perhaps we shouldn't be like so many other NGOs, dull, boring, worthy, stuck in our ways and reactionary. We should have a go and see if we could make use of some of these things in a positive way. And 3 or 4 years on, I'm absolutely certain that there has been. It's been very useful to us, and I think we've managed to engage new people in our mission, in our agenda, and I'm very pleased that we had this sort of, that we took the risk to have a go at it.
The Mersey Basin Campaign has a blog, has presence on MySpace and Facebook, and has been podcasting and creating videos for use on YouTube. Kate believes this approach has enabled them to reach smaller, niche audiences they wouldn't have made contact with otherwise.
I think because we work on very local projects, it's been particularly successful. We've been able to speak through our blog and through our podcasting and other things that we've done. We've been able to speak to very small local audiences that are interested in one tiny, tiny tributary, say, up in Lancashire, in a more sort of direct way than we would have done by writing something in our magazine or putting a press release out. Do you think we're in quite an unusual situation this year because the campaign is ending at the end of this financial year? Do you think that our new media presence and our sort of social media activities will have a role to play in keeping people interested this year and after we cease to exist?
I think they will. I think it's very important that we capture some voices from the real world, as I like to think of it, in the way that we've captured voices from the real world in our book and the exhibition and the podcasting that went with it when we produced the book Mersey, the River That Changed the World. What I think brought that to life was, you know, images of, photographs of, and voices of real people who in some way are connected with the River Mersey.
My name's Irene Dooley. and I come from Stockport in Mersey. Well, when I was a young girl of 16, I went working at Millen and Cowards. That's on the riverbank. That's called Bleachers and Dyers Works. I first started...
I used to walk along the promenade when I was a lot younger and I seen what was floating down the river and it wasn't very nice. I wouldn't have swam in it 20 years ago, let's put it that way, but I'm quite happy with swimming in it now.
Of course it's important to have things written down, to have an archive, to kind of capture what we've achieved, to try and explain what we've learnt over nearly 25 years. But I think that's all fine. There's no substitute for voices from what I like to think of as real people who often feel very passionately about things and who often have unrivaled knowledge of their own local place.
The Mersey Basin campaign is due to close down in the spring of 2010, but they hope their work will be carried on by partners in the Northwest. And thanks to their use of social media, the things that they've done, the people they've met, and the lessons they've learnt will be accessible to everyone and will live on. You can find out more about the campaign by going to their website at www.merseybasin.org.uk and on Flickr and YouTube and under various guises on Facebook and MySpace.